Hello, hello, back again. Amy Thurman, your host of the Polish the Mirror podcast. We are back again with another episode today. I am so glad you're here. Thank you to those of you who are watching and to those of you who will be listening. I appreciate your support so, so much. If you have never caught one of these episodes before, the Polish the Mirror podcast is all about, it's basically a reflection of my life. It's all about helping others share their stories of hope gained in the midst of adversity, because that's what I've done. I have lived the past 10 years with a broken neck and been able to find hope in the midst of all of that. And so I want to help other people share their stories too. So that's what this is about. So we get to share stories of hope gained in the midst of adversity and meet some really, really cool, neat people and learn a lot along the way. Some of these people, the way that they have found coping mechanisms and worked their way through what they've been through is amazing. So I'm so excited to share it with you. The others you can find at hashtag Polish the Mirror podcast. Then it's streaming live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or X. And then I upload the audio to all of the podcasting platforms. So then you can find it on Apple, Google, all of those podcasting platforms. So let's get into this today. I can't wait for you to meet my guest today. This is Karen. Karen, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you.
It's a privilege to be here. And I want to say, Amy, you are an inspiration. Having looked at your podcasts and your story, I'm just so grateful there are people like you willing to share their story and give hope to those still going through it. So thank you very much for this opportunity to share with you.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you, Karen. Oh my gosh. It's like, you know, that's the whole, I feel like that's the whole reason I went through it is just, you know, to use it as a gift to help others. And so I appreciate that so, so much. I would love to hear what you have to share with us today about your experience of gaining hope in the midst of adversity, if you wouldn't mind to share.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, compared to a broken neck, I know that you don't compare.
I always say it's not a competition. Like, it's not. Everybody has something, you know, that just happens to be mine.
Yeah, you know, we don't trivialize people's pain, and certainly not, you know, any of ours. And I'm an artist, an art mentor. I'm in the arts as an actor, filmmaker, author, and just basically creativity specialist. I've been doing it for decades. And part of my story is rejection. And, you know, with right brain people, creatives, we operate out of that very sensitive part of our souls, the intuitive, imaginative, you know, inspirational part. And it's very sensitive. We're working with the way, you know, smell, taste, touch, and even you as a creative podcaster, you know, you're operating in this arena. And when you get rejected in that, either no matter what age, whether for a lot of people, it's very young, you can't sing. And I didn't sing except in the shower most of my life because of being told I didn't realize I could learn to sing. Wow. I wanted to be an actor on stage and Broadway and musicals, and it just kind of stifled that part of my career. But I don't know whether that was the plan or not. I ended up in art, but I still suffered from rejection in art school. I had great drawing skills. I'd had very good instruction in drawing, but when it came to painting, I didn't know how to paint, but I really wanted to. I love people. I love to paint people, scenery, and I wanted to paint them naturalistically. But when I went to school, all the professors were into abstract expressionism and surrealism, and I just didn't fit in. And I didn't realize that when I was in painting school and all of these professors, I took four different courses with four different professors, and they all basically used four letter words to describe my art and my painting. Oh my gosh. No matter what I did, they just told me I couldn't paint. I needed to go into sculpture. So for graduate school, I did switch to sculpture and ceramics, which I still love. But inside, I really wanted to paint. Ever since I was a little girl, my mom's joke is that, you know, the paper wasn't big enough. So I ended up crayon on the walls. What she didn't know is eventually people would pay me to paint on their walls because I became a muralist.
I love that.
I know. But at that time, I was so completely discouraged. I believe their words. I believe what they said about me. And many of you may also have had experiences where you were told you can't draw, you can't paint, you can't sing, you can't play, you can't dance, whatever it was in these creative arenas, you can't write. One of my sons was so struggled with dyslexia and ADHD, and reading was such a trial for him. And so now, as he, he worked through it, and now he teaches English. He lives in Germany,
English.
And he writes stories so imaginatively and beautifully. It's like, you know what? He overcame those limitations, and instead of giving up, found his purpose and place in it. Yes. So I know it works. And so for me, I kept trying to paint, and I would paint, I would do another painting, and I just couldn't push past that weakness of, I knew it wasn't good enough. And I believed that in my mindset, you're just not good enough.
Especially when a teacher's telling you that, especially when someone you respect tells you that. Yeah, you tend to believe it.
I did believe it for decades, until I finally found a mentor. And old Bob had been to the Chicago Art Institute back when they actually taught the fundamental principles of art, not abstract expressionism, which is a valid and beautiful art form. I'm not negating that. It just wasn't what I wanted to do. Well, he taught me how to paint, and I developed the skills I needed to do the work that I wanted to do, and it changed my life. Wow. So I really thank God for him, and became an award-winning painter. I've been able to support my family through the years painting, and it's been a joy to learn. And so not only did his efforts make me a better painter, but it made me a better teacher, because I love seeing students develop their skills to be able to do what they want to do and be inspired. So those of you, and I've been devoting my career this last couple of years to really researching the science behind what I was already seeing, the healing power of art. It's miraculous. It is a part of our brain that everyone has. And so I'm on this mission to convince people you are a creative. You don't have to identify as an artiste of some kind to get the benefits and the joy from being creative. And it comes in so many ways. And what I've really studied and learned is that, like, when you were 5 years old, what did you love to do? Did you love to sing or dance or color or paint or draw or make up stories or, have plays in the playground or do sports? All of those things are combining both left brain and right brain. And that's what we're looking for, is ways to have neural connections between our left brain and right brain. And if we have a school system that trivializes the right brain gifts and only trains in left brain logic, memorization, order, critical thinking, timeliness, those are easy to measure and to grade, right? And that's what we spend our time learning. And if we are in a school system that trivializes those arts and don't give value to them in each individual, then the person's going to believe that's not who they are and not part of their life. But exactly. For many, many of it, because we were made by our creator in his image, we have creative gifts. All of us do. And they bring so much joy and fulfillment, no matter what adversity you're walking through, struggles you're going through. I promise you that I have seen over and over and over again, not just in my own life, but in my students' lives, the power of the arts to heal. And I mean, all the arts, the whole arts and entertainment mountain of variety and choices. So I'm saying, as a 70-year-old, it's not too late. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too infirm. Nobody can stop you from being a creative. And so I have a couple stories also of my students, if you don't mind me sharing them, Amy.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. I started seeing this as a teacher because us homeschoolers homeschool for various reasons. I became the art teacher of the homeschool organization in my community here in South Carolina. And often people homeschool their children because they're so bright they could go faster. That wasn't the case with us creatives, right? We have kids that just don't sit still for 8 hours, 7 hours.
Yes.
Talk or be with people or sing or dance. They don't fit in that round hole very well.
I have two of those. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And some have struggles, ADHD, dyslexia, autism. There's all kinds of things that people, children are suffering, that they're not thriving in the academic school system with the stressing of the left brain skills. So they come to my studio, and of course, I don't know any of that at that time. I'm just teaching art. I'm teaching them to draw and to paint and to sculpt and to batik and really unwrap the giftings inside of these children. I always made the parents stay too and do it. And so I discovered lots of talented parents too that had you know, really believed like I did, you can't do it, you know, you're not good enough, or you can't draw stick figures, I can't do that. And these negative mindsets are as much of an adversity as anything else physically that might be wrong, is what's going on in the mind. And so, you know, I saw these students thrive in the arts over and over and over again. And it brought confidence to them. And one family I got to know very well, their son, you know, had ADHD and dyslexia and was struggling so badly and doing so well in art. I started entering their work in competitions, youth competitions, and they were just doing well, and seeing that affirmed in them gave them confidence to do the work needed to overcome, just like my son did, overcome those mental limitations for the academic classes. So this one particular young man who was just excellent in art, he, matter of fact, at 18, won not only first place, but best in show in the whole competition, which covered the best students in the Lowcountry. Wow. And he took his money winnings, so went to Disney World, and he got an infection that tragically brought an infection to his brain, and he got a stroke. So here he was, 18 years old, paralyzed on the right side. They didn't even know if he was going to live. They had to replace his skull. I mean, I'd never heard
of it.
Plastic skull. He couldn't talk. He could barely walk. They were working with his right hand to keep it from curling up. And when they let him out of the hospital after 4 months, his mom brought him right back to the studio. I thought, well, you know, he's got a left hand that's working. Let's teach him to draw left-handed.
Yeah.
He did it very quickly. I mean, he was drawing as good with his left hand as he had with his right hand. I was struggling with sculpture a little bit because it takes two hands, but he was just painting and drawing and then writing. So I get a call from his neurosurgeon, and this was shocking for me and him. He's like, I've never called anybody's art teacher before. What are you doing with David? He's not only stronger with his weak hand than I am, and I'm a surgeon, but he's getting healing on the right side of his body.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, I don't know. I'm not even an art therapist. I'm just an art teacher. And he said, keep doing it. It's working. So he continued
to come.
And he could start communicating not only with writing, but now he could start talking. He started walking. And now it's 8 years later. He walks and talks. You wouldn't even look at him to know. He had a plastic skull and couldn't even talk. And his family is convinced, yes, they did the medical things, but his success in the arts really changed his life and saved his life in so many ways. He didn't give in to depression or discouragement. He has this great sense of humor that he would show in his art. And it just gave him a way to express himself that was, even though he, at that point, he didn't want to show his work anymore, but it brought him joy and his family joy to see that. And I started doing the science research, like what is going on, learning more and more about the brain. Of course, they're always learning more and more about our brains and our minds and the connections. And what that surgeon told me is that the neural connections he had been making, left brain, right brain, because he had been pursuing the arts, he'd been training himself, and he was making lots of connections. And the brain has this incredible plasticity to, you know, take over different parts of the brain to do things that other parts are damaged. So
yes,
he was having that happen for him in miraculous ways. And I just got really excited about this other purpose of art, not just for artists or students, but for our whole full wellness of life, is to in some way find the healing power of art to bring wellness into your life. Another story, an older student who was so talented in ceramics and in sculpting got a fatal diagnosis with cancer. Oh. Was given 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
So I was preparing for a great big room installation show, going to do hundreds and hundreds of porcelain pieces. And I said, Jan, come join me in the studio. You know, I got this big show. I need your help. And she's like, I don't even know if I'll be here for the show. And I said, well, you'll have a legacy, you know, to give your family. So she came into the studio anytime she wasn't doing the the surgeries, the chemo, the radiation therapies, she was in the studio with me hours, however long she could. And we had the most fun doing this work. And sure enough, 9 months later, during the show, she was there with me. And she, right after that, entered remission. And now, years later, she is completely cancer-free. Now, again, she credits having something to focus on. When you focus on something artsy or craftsy or musical, you are in that, what they call the flow of your brain. Your brain is to move left and right and build, and it can help with brain fog. It helps with it releases serotonin, which is the happiness chemical. Even looking at art releases serotonin. I mean, I know that's why the internet is full of pictures of babies and puppies and kittens, is because it brings us joy, you know, to see these little happy people and puppies. And so the part of our brain that wants to be fulfilled is always working and looking for ways to, like, leak out, you know, and find its expression. And that's
I love that so much. There was so many things were coming to mind. I was like, oh my gosh, where do I want to go with this? But my youngest son has ADHD and autism. And so this resonates with me very deeply. And we found him an art therapist where we live. And she would say, you know, he won't really talk to me, but when we start doing art, like, he's like an open book. He just will just talk about everything and not even realize what he's doing. It's almost like the brain is preoccupied. And so he can open up. And so I saw such a difference with him in that therapy. I said, can I start seeing you too? Can you be my therapist too? So I started going to her too. And I can't get over, like, I have been to therapist before, but there's something about combining it with art that you're exactly right. It hits a different part of the brain completely. Yes. And there is a healing component to it. And I love that you're using it to help people heal. The stories that you shared are like, I'm just baffled by this, you know? That's so amazing.
It is so fun because I, you know, doing the research just encourages me more and more. And of course, they're always doing more research, right? But one of them is Walter Reed Hospital, which is the foremost military hospital in America, probably in the world, was taking all of these injured veterans, and they had the medical treatments. They had been through things, but they were still struggling emotionally or different ways. So they did a summer program where they did this special therapies with them. And one of them was the arts. And after the program was over, they did this follow-up research with them and did surveys and asked them, what was your favorite part of this summer program? And overwhelmingly, they said art. Now, these are soldiers, you know, they're not identifying as artists in any way, but they found that purpose and that fulfillment in finding a release, an emotional release. It does something, you know, supernatural to us when we operate in our full potential, which I believe if we ignore our right brain, we're not operating our full potential. It helps with brain fog. If people have had, you know, COVID or had certain things that have left them not feeling as sharp. And certainly my age, people are concerned about keeping their brain sharp. It's one thing to do. And there's so many easy ways to do it. Now, here's one. Now, this is so cool. They did a study of people who sing in the shower. I love this. Because like you said, Amy, they're not thinking about work. They're not trying to problem solve. They're letting their left brain kind of rest as they scrub a dub dub, and they're just singing along their favorite song, whatever. And they get out feeling good. Now, they've just released serotonin, the happiness chemical. They're feeling, you know, warm from the shower, and they get an idea. Maybe it's a creative idea. Maybe it's solving something they hadn't, a different way of seeing something, a different perspective. And they're not even making the connection. Well, you were engaging your right brain brilliance and singing in the shower while your left brain was just waiting for that input to make these neural connections. I just think it's so cool. So sing in the shower. It's an easy way to engage your right brain.
I love that so much. Like, my dad is an artist. Like, he is so creative, comes up with these fantastic ideas and paintings, and it just blows me away. And I am very much left brain. Like, I like to check off the box, make a list, do all the things. I have never really considered myself very creative, and I've always wished that I had some of his talent. But what you just said hit me, because it's like that doesn't define creativity, being able to draw or paint, or there's so many ways to be creative, to express the creativity. It doesn't have to be physically drawing or painting, right?
Absolutely not. It really doesn't. There's so many ways to do it. You know, people that were into sports, you know, one of the first exercises I do when with my students when I'm teaching to draw is to throw and catch a ball. Because eye-hand coordination is the same whether you're going to be doing sports or you're going to be doing art. You're going to be looking with your eyes and your hands are going to be moving at the same time. It's a wonderful overlapping skill. Arts translate. My husband was a master gardener, and taking painting classes enabled him to design colors with his beds, his flower beds, and the way that he worked. And even our son does that now. He's a landscape carpenter. Contractor that does the big jobs in people's gardens, beautiful homes with beautiful gardens, and all the lessons he had. You know, my kids were all studio babies, right?
Yeah.
And even though his main drive is to do painting and landscaping, and he's a drummer. He was my kid. Everything was a drum. You know, he also plays in bands playing the drums. So yeah, there's so many ways to operate it. And here's another simple one for your audience: is if it's possible to enjoy a stroll. It's not Fitbit time counting your steps, although they may count. I don't know. Even if you're wheelchair bound, just get outside and enjoy the atmosphere, whatever's around you. You know, see the people, see the dogs walking, hear the children playing, hear the birds singing, hear, you know, smell the flowers blooming. Notice the sunset. They said people that watch sunsets, they get that same serotonin boost, you know, of just enjoying. We had a gorgeous sunset last night, and I saw neighbors too, just watching those colors as they exploded across the sky, or just gently bloomed, is almost the way it looks. The colors just kind of bloom as the sun goes down. You know, these are all engaging our right brain. So go to a gallery, go to a museum, go to a concert, go to a play. These things are engaging our right brain too. As we enjoy them, they're releasing that joy. So if you're fighting feeling down and discouraged, and, you know, any kind of lack of hope, you know, find a way. Think about what did you enjoy when you were small, when you were a young child, and think about ways that you can incorporate that into your life. And if I can in any way help, I'd love to do that. It's kind of my superpower, is stirring up that creative in people. You can go to getcreativewithkaren.com, and I've got a free pop-up podcast that you can learn more about. And I have a whole list of ideas on stirring up your creativity. So I'd love to be able to share that with your audience.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I love that you're talking about how to just incorporate it into your life naturally, because when I think of like art or being creative, I think of having, like you said, having to go to a class, having to sit down and do all the things. But when you're talking, I was just thinking about, like, we have a couple chickens. And so I just will let the chickens out of the pen, and I will just sit there and I'll watch them. And that is so, I never thought about it as being something creative, but I've learned a lot from them because I watch them interact with each other. You know, chickens are fascinating creatures. They really are.
And then you get the added benefits of those wonderful, fresh, organic eggs. They're yes, so good for you too. Yeah,
exactly,
I love that.
Right.
Practical.
Yes.
It's something that's been so neglected. And if you do have a trauma-based hindrance in your own mindset, it's something to really, really look at and say, don't do this because someone told me I couldn't? And why do they still have power over me? You know, I need healing in that right brain part of us. Right brain, I'm so sorry. I came into agreement with them and they were wrong, you know?
Right.
I mean, most of our goals can still happen. Maybe we can't be a prima ballerina at our age, but maybe we can still take ballroom dancing classes or, you know, support the ballet. Ballet companies or dance companies, they always need support, or go and watch people doing ballet or doing ballroom dancing. It's fun. It's a great activity. And, you know, there's a part of us that loves being in community, and there's so many ways to do it. Or some people on their walks, they'll bring their sketchbook or they'll bring their notebook and take notes. Cause, you know, just like coming out of the shower, have your, you know, ideas coming, bring them. Or people, when they first wake up in the morning and their brain has been resting, they'll have some ideas. I know that's usually when I get some solutions is when I wake up. So take note of it, because that's your creative right brain working for you. And you have one. And I'm convinced everyone is a creative.
I love that. Now, tell me where you're located. I don't think we talked about that.
Yeah, I'm in the Charleston, South Carolina area. I live in the suburbs of Charleston and Somerville and live near the ocean. It's a very artsy town. There's a lot of history. It draws me because they spent a lot of time through the decades working on rebuilding the old homes to make them, you know, pristine and pretty. And I've done a lot of work in some of those houses myself. My husband and I had a painting business for years and we got to work in some of these beautiful mansions downtown. Wow. And it has a lot of good food, a lot of good. And that's another one is cooking. Some people use cooking as a way to be creative. I think that's why we love those cooking shows and those survivor shows is we're watching people come up with creative solutions to problems. They're problem solving. My girlfriend loves The Great Race, and it's always they're in a new culture and environment. They're finding ways to problem solve outside of their normal areas of expertise. So that's what we love about them because they're people using that part of their brain. We can too. We all can.
Oh, so good. So do you offer classes where you're located there in South Carolina?
I do. I have some live classes, but most of my classes now are online. I teach in a college in South Carolina. It's a more rural school. My students, I realized, were not thriving using the textbooks they gave me. So in 2020, I wrote a textbook specifically for my students. It's a 600-page book with 1,800 images. Some of them will never read the book.
But it's there, by golly.
It is. And they're going to look at some beautiful art and they're going to see the rich history of our Western art. They're going to have their creativity stirred up because they have to draw. I make them do it. How do you art history appreciation? How do you appreciate if you don't try it? Make them try it. And that create a no criticism zone. You know, that right brain is too sensitive. No criticism. We have to let that right brain bully shut up, you know, and whatever beliefs we have, let it shut up and let this be a chance to try and give yourself the same grace you would a child trying it for the first time, however old you are. So they have to do it, you know, experiment and try and see what gifts can come forth. And they will also have to select an artist. I have a whole part of it that is all local or contemporary artists that maybe have work that they can relate to. I have a great deal of ethnic variety in my classes. So I try to have something for everyone to be able to relate to. And as a result, I think that more and more of them are enjoying their experience in art. When I hear they took art and it was terrible and they hated it and it was boring, I'm like, what?
No.
Boring. Learning about art history was boring. That's the teacher's fault. So now I've got a book that my students enjoy and, you know, just learn from, hopefully take something from their one experience in the arts and get an opinion about what they like. That was the other thing is select an art that you like and why. Let's talk about what about it draws you. Is it the content? Is it the colors? Is it the forms? Is it, you know, give them a vocabulary to describe what they've learned. So
that's so good.
Part of my mission. And it's all online now.
That's amazing. And they can find that at your website.
Yep.
Okay. That's good. So I'm including your website. I included it in the description with all of these that it will allow me to include, and it will be in the show notes of the podcasting platforms. And perfect segue into my book that's releasing in a week or so, that you're talking about people telling you things and you believe them. You know, my book is called Finding My Hero Within. It's my journey from incapacitation to empowerment. And I talk about that in the book, about how we are our own heroes. Like, we have what we need inside of us and we bully ourselves, but we don't have to do that. And so I bring attention to that. I call attention to that. And I talk about how I was able to find my own hero within by all the things that I have been through. And I give a little bit of tips in there on how to do it for yourself too. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can go to my website. It's getamyshelp.com. That's getamyshelp.com. And you can sign up there for the pre-order. I am offering a free mini documentary series of videos that I have recorded, photos, images, all the things from the past 10 years as an exclusive behind the scenes to see what it was like in the moment of living what I was going through. So that's free to all of the pre-launch purchasers. And if you have questions, let me know. I am happy to talk about that and help in any way. And again, Karen's website is getcreativewithkaren.com. Go check that out. Connect with her. Are your social media links on your website as well?
Good question. I'm Karen Deloach Art with Facebook. I'm on that mostly. I post a lot there. Yeah.
Well, I will make sure you're in the description.
With your being an author is creative too. Congratulations.
I never thought about that. It really is. Thank you. Really I'm so excited. It's been that's a tough thing.
Connections. That's awesome. Yeah. So congratulations, yeah. Amy. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You. Well, I will be sure to tag you in the descriptions of all of these that it will allow me to, so that they can connect with you on social media too.
Thank you.
All right. Karen, well, thank you so much for being here. It has been such a pleasure and an honor. I am just so thankful.
Me too. Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I know you got to get to a class, so I will let you go. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. For those of you still watching, thank you again for watching. Thank you for listening. If you have found this helpful and think it will be helpful for others, please leave us a 5-star review on the podcasting platforms. That helps us be able to reach more people with these stories of hope, with stories like Karen shared of ways that we can find our creativity and ways that we can find healing that we can do naturally. So I would appreciate that. If you're watching this live and would like to share it, that will help us reach more people too. If you are interested in being on the podcast, I do have a waiting list at this time, but I am still taking applications. You can find that link on my website as well. So thanks again for watching. Thanks for being here. #PolishTheMirrorPodcast to catch the others. And I will see you again next week. Bye.